Motherhood. It starts from the moment of conception. Infertility, miscarriage, pregnancy, birth, postpartum, mommy life. Let's unzip it all. I want to let you know you aren't alone. Revealing monthly mommy matters. Every month, IG Live conversations with moms.
There we go.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm here talking. I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I've done this so many times. I still don't know how to get people in.
It's okay. I know it. Every time something's a little bit different. Sometimes it freezes. There's all these things going on.
And I just saw a message that said poor quality. I'm like, what's going on?
You can't win. You can't win sometimes.
You can't. Okay, so let's get into. I'm so excited. I say this every time, but I think every time I go live, I'm even more excited because it's new information we're talking about, and it's just newness. Things I'm learning, people are going to learn, and probably we'll see. I don't normally have questions, but we may see if anybody has questions that pop up, and we can try and address them at the end. Guys, welcome to Mommy Matters. We have Althea with us tonight, and we are going to be talking about midwives.
Yay!
Do with that. So if you want to take some time just to introduce yourself to us.
Oh, what to say? My name is Althea Jones. I'm a registered midwife. I'm currently working on a couple of other projects that are a little bit outside of midwifery care, like clinical care specifically. And the main one is Ancestral Hands Midwives, which is a nonprofit organization focused on Black maternal health. And so that's something that I started, just last year, 2021. And so it's just a matter of kind of learning that process, because I'm a clinician actually, so this is all new to me, but to try and get this program off the ground and get Ministry of Health funding. So I actually started to incorporate a nonprofit, so I'm kind of learning as I go in terms of like the nonprofit side of things, and then hopefully waiting on Ministry of Health approval so we can kind of have the full-fledged clinic and vision that that we're all hoping for. And then I also have a maternity network called Women Wellness, which helps people connect with the complementary care that they need throughout their pregnancy, because oftentimes like you have your midwife or your OB and you think kind of that's where your prenatal care stops and your postpartum care as well, where there's a whole bunch of other complementary care providers, chiropractors, naturopaths, doulas, lactation consultants, sleep consultants, like the whole spectrum of people that can help support you and help you thrive kind of throughout that perinatal period, which we both know there can be lots of questions, there can be lots of things that come up. As awesome as it is, it can also be challenging, right? So it's great to have all the support in place and kind of just know your options. So that's kind of, you know, I'm midwife turned entrepreneur a little bit, but all focused on maternal health, and right, that's the goal, and that's what I'm passionate about, and that's kind of different ways to kind of do that work.
And that's amazing because, first of all, it's Black History Month. Second of all, you're a Black woman entrepreneur who is a midwife. And within our community, I know there's a lot of us looking for that. I live in the Niagara region and we don't have that out here. And even just to think about, like, I had a midwife myself, and my midwife, which I was going to get into a little bit later, but obviously white, and they don't know a lot about the Black woman's health and how to manage that. So it was just interesting. Sometimes when things were happening, you know, they ask you about your history, your family history. But I was at least in a good position where they did their research. It wasn't, this is what it is, this is how it's always been with everybody that we've dealt with. And there's not many of me in this area. So I guarantee that a lot of the times it was, okay, we researched this, we saw this, maybe try this. But those who know my story know that I didn't end up having my birth with a midwife, but that's a whole different conversation. We'll talk about that another time. But this is good. So you're a midwife, you're an entrepreneur, and you are in the health industry. So before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about your personal life. You are a mommy.
I am. I have two wonderful, amazing, loud and wild daughters. They're now 7 and 10, which is weird to say out loud because it's like, how do I My kids are that big that time just really flies. It's so cliche, but then once you're actually in it, it's just like, oh my goodness, like I see their pictures pop up on the phone and when they were little, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, like you're these big people now. So it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. And you, from a brief conversation, we were emailing back and forth. You did mention that you had home births, both of
I
them.
did. I did have both of my babies at
Oh,
home. Yes. Yeah. So, okay. So I do have to preface it by saying I was a third year midwifery student when I had my first, and then I was like a first year new registrant when I had my second. So I was very much kind of in the world of midwifery and home birth and just normal low risk birth. So I would put that kind of in context because I know not everybody's kind of coming from that same place. But for me, it's the same thing that I tell my clients that are planning a home birth. Like, I just wanted to labor at home as long as I could. And if I ended up having my baby there, great. If I didn't, that was fine too. If there was ever a reason to move into the hospital, I was fine to do that, but there wasn't. So I stayed home and I had my babies there and it was great. Like, everything kind of was, just normal and straightforward, like I had hoped. And things just kind of went according to my hopes. I wouldn't say plans because I don't plan. Like I don't, and I always get nervous with clients that really have this long, exhausted list of this needs to go exactly this way because there's just so much that can be out of your control. Like there's certain things that you can set up your healthcare team, you can set up your support system, all that sort of stuff. But in terms of the actual labor, sometimes there's just things that you can't.
You can't
Yeah,
plan.
it just yeah, it's just gonna happen how it's gonna happen, and you have to be okay with that. You got to be able to let go a little bit. But home birth for me was a great experience. Like I said, I did have a lot of prior knowledge, so I kind of knew what to expect. And I think for a lot of people, labor is scary, right? It's like, okay, you're in pain, these things are going on, and you're just not sure. You're like, when is it gonna end? Is this normal? And I didn't really have those same questions because I've watched so many people labor. I've been at labors, I've caught babies at that point. So for me, it's just like, okay, this is happening now. All right, huh. Okay, I hope this part will be over soon. I know what's coming next, but there was no never any of that fear. It was just like, okay, here's this going, next thing, next thing, next thing. All right, call my midwife now. With my first, I labored kind of throughout the day, and I just kind of knew, oh, this is early, things are sporadic, I'm gonna ignore it. Did that for as long as I could, then I couldn't ignore anymore. Okay, let's watch some TV and bounce on the ball. Okay, now it's really picking up. Let me go ahead and get in the tub. Got in the tub and things really picked up. I was like, oh, I should call the midwife. Like, and all kind of, I've been through these steps with other people on the other end. So it was totally fine. Probably like, okay. And then my midwife got there, we did the normal talking and they, timed the contractions, check. And they're like, oh, you're 10 centimeters. Oh, I'm like, cool. Great. Okay. Next step, right? So it's just like, I just continued to pace up and down my hallway. And it was actually funny because the midwife, because I was a first-time mom, you expect things to take a little longer, so you have some time. And I actually lived pretty close to the hospital, and she had left the hospital, like left somebody had just had their baby, did the postpartum, and came over to me. So she left the backup midwife because there's always two midwives at a birth. So she left the backup midwife at the hospital and said, I'll call you when I need you. And the backup midwife didn't actually end up getting there in time for the birth because it just kind of, happened faster than she thought it would take longer with the first time mom and all that sort of stuff. So, but I was totally happy with it. It was what I expected. I think for my partner, my husband was. It was nice and comfortable for him to be in his own space and to be at home and to know where the food was and to know where that was. Like, it's just so much more comfortable and they can feel kind of more involved and not like they're in a foreign place, even though what's going on is kind of,
Four.
different, but the space is at least the same and comfortable.
Yes.
So that was great. But that being said, I had my hospital bag packed in case we had to go. Like, that was always like, if we had to go, we had to go, and that's okay. I always say there's no such thing as a failed home birth, unless you should have been somewhere else and you weren't. Like, if and that doesn't really happen very often with midwives because we are very cautious, especially with home births, because we know we're a little bit further from the hospital, we're a little bit further from those other resources, so we make sure that we're kind of looking for those pink flags because there's usually those little pink flags before there's a big red flag and things go wrong. And so we look out for those and we're cautious. And so if there's anything that kind of comes up during the labor that we feel we need to move in for, we'll be very open with clients and having that discussion and saying, this is why we think we should go in. And so it's pretty rare that you get where you're not in the right place at the right time. And so for me, it was, you know, great to be at home and everything worked out well. And I was able to have both my kids like that. And it was a great experience.
That's amazing. It's funny because when I first brought the talks to my husband about, you know, having a home birth, he was like, nope, we're not having a home birth. Anything can go wrong. Obviously, because you're not necessarily educated. First time parents, you don't know as much. So he's like, no, at least for my first child, he always says he was not sure how I would be, I would be with home birth. I obviously end up giving birth in a hospital because my son was high risk. He had some health issues. But when I think about it, and I know they say, you know, it's here that you can control. But when I remember that pain, I was like, oh, I need the epidural now, please.
Yeah, and it's so common that people feel that way. But I think when you're at home, like, you know, it's not so close, right? It's different. It's different when somebody's walking in and saying, hey, the anesthetist is on the floor right now. Do you want your epidural? And if you don't get it now, you might not be able to get it for 3 hours. And when you're already in pain, you're just like, oh my goodness, I don't know how I can cope. And that's already kind of out there that, oh, maybe I should do it now. It's a different mindset. Whereas at home, it's like, okay, I have no choice but to do this, or, you know, have an uncomfortable car ride to the hospital. And either way, I got to wait. Right. So I just think it's a bit of a different mindset, and not to take away from anybody's pain, like, you know, labor is uncomfortable, right? It is something that is,
but it's a very amazing experience. I think like it's in your mind that yes, you physically feel pain, but I had taken a course, I don't remember where I found it from, but a course before that really talks about, they use an example of putting ice in your hand. Like when you first put ice in your hand, like, it's not nice.
Yeah.
But when you start envisioning yourself somewhere else, like on a beach or your favorite place, you forget about that ice that's in your hand. You can still feel it, but it's not as bad. And you're breathing. Like if you're tensing, you're going to feel more pain if you just release. So I did a lot of those things to help, and it did. But your mind, I keep saying this, but your mind, my problem was my son and his health conditions. Like, what's going to happen? Because my mind kept going there, I could feel the pain. And you're starting to think, is he breathing? Is he not breathing? Is the heart rate going right? Is the heart rate not going right? Is what I'm feeling real pain? Or is it not? Like, you have
And that's very real. Psyche is part of the labor process, right? Yeah. So absolutely.
Oh, but it's an amazing experience, especially when that baby comes. You're just like, oh, pain. And I had stitches front to back, unfortunately. But the one thing that I saw that the nurses did is as soon as baby came out, they put him on me, and I didn't feel like I was, you know, epidural wore off, so you can feel things, but I wasn't focusing on that.
Your no. Body are amazing things. Yes. And that's like a trick that we use like as midwives, you know, on the obstetrical floor. Like, you put that baby up on the chest, and even when we're suturing, just focus on your baby. Just take, and it really does. It does help, and it does kind of take your mind away from it. And absolutely
makes a big difference. So see, now we went right at all my questions.
That's okay. That's how it always goes, right?
I told you, it's okay. A girl talk.
Yes, it's perfect.
But one of my questions for you is, what is a midwife? Like, we're talking about it, so for those who don't know, what is a midwife?
Midwives are primary maternity care providers, regulated health professionals. So that's an important thing to know, because in Ontario, we are regulated. So like doctors, like nurses, like other health dentists, other healthcare professionals, regulated healthcare professionals. So that means that we have, you know, a regulatory college, and specific training that we have to do, and specific exam that we pass before going to active practice. And so primary care providers for low risk pregnancies. So that's kind of the main thing that kind of separates from obstetrics, where obstetricians are surgeons, obstetricians deal with high risk pregnancies, midwives are with normal, low risk pregnancies. And so that's kind of what we focus on.
Which is good that you addressed it, because there's a stigma of, well, I wouldn't say stigma, but there's conversations always about, you know, the OB is the only person that you're supposed to go with, when not necessarily like high risk, like as I mentioned earlier, I was with a midwife because they do the exact same thing. But I end up going to an OB because I end up being high risk. So you have a choice. And in Canada, for those who, I know there's some Americans on here, but in Canada, it's actually covered. Like, you don't pay for a midwife, just like how you wouldn't pay for an OB. I don't know if you pay for OBs in the States. I don't know how it works over there.
Very different healthcare system, yes. You're right. And midwifery is very different in the States as well. So we will clarify, because it really varies from state to state. But but in Ontario, yes, covered under your provincial health insurance. And same thing, any other province that has midwifery is the same way. Like, you don't pay out of pocket for it. And having a midwife, like some people ask, like, do I have a midwife and an OB? So if you have a normal low risk pregnancy, no, because we're doing the same things and you don't need both. But if something comes up during your pregnancy that puts you into a higher risk category, or if we need to consult with an obstetrician or any other type of doctor, we still have that ability. And so sometimes we'll consult and it results in a transfer of care, meaning, okay, say you have high blood pressure that's needs medication. That's a high risk pregnancy. You need to be with OB. You have gestational diabetes that needs medication. Once again, that puts you in a high risk category. You need to be with an OB. And so those are reasons why midwives need to transfer your care to an obstetrician. But if it's something like your iron's low, or, you know, there's just maybe something else that we need to consult about during the pregnancy, all that is you go, you see the doctor, you tell them what the reason is. They talk to you about it, talked about risks and benefits, treatment. They send back a care plan to us, and then you stay within our care. And then the important thing for people to know is, like, when you are in labor, if you're at the hospital, you have the same resources as everybody else. You can still get an epidural. If we need to consult with the obstetrician, they will still come. If we have concerns about the baby, we need the pediatrician to come in for the births or the respiratory therapist. We do all those same things. So all the same resources are available to you. It's not just because you have a midwife doesn't mean that you're excluded from those things. You can still have an epidural in the hospital, all those things, if you need them. But if you don't, then it's really just you and your midwives, which is pretty cool. Like, I love when we go in, and so we'll talk to our clients if they're in labor. Like, they'll page us, we'll talk by phone, do an assessment. Sometimes we'll go to their house and do a home assessment before we go into the hospital, because sometimes even people that are planning a hospital birth want to labor at home for a while. So we do that. When we go into the hospital, we usually, people love that they get to kind of bypass triage. We go straight in, because we're doing all of that, right? So we don't need the extra, we don't need to stop, see the nurse and then see the obstetrician, wait in that room with the curtains. No, we go straight back to our room to labor and birth, because we already know what we're dealing with. Like, we're doing that whole assessment. And if we don't need anybody else, we just call our backup midwife closer to when the baby is going to come, because there's always two midwives at every birth. So that there's one for birther and one for baby once baby comes. And there's a lot of things to do right around the time when the baby is being born in terms of charting. And then you have your sterile gloves on. Like, there's a lot, right? So you do need two people.
You need hands.
Even if it's just for an extra set of hands, you do need two people, but there's always two midwives there. And then if everything is fine with birther and baby after the birth, then you can go to the postpartum floor. Like, usually 2 hours after the birth, you move over to postpartum, or this is the other part, you could go home. Sometimes 3 hours after the birth, you can go home straight from labor delivery. You go home. Why can you go home? Because you have a midwife who you can page 24/7. We've given you a list of things that are normal. We'll tell you what's not normal. And we're going to come and see you within 24 hours to assess you and the baby after the birth. So that's why people are like, oh my goodness, I'm going to go home. Especially right now during the pandemic, a few hospitals have been working with their midwives to do an early discharge program, even for their OB clients, where a midwife will go and see them at home and do kind of that testing that's normally done and do assessment of mom and baby because of COVID, and try to get people out of hospital and have that other option. So those are kind of the parts that I think are interesting.
Because I think, and even like myself, not being a mother before this, you don't know all this information until it's time. But we were always under the assumption that if you have a midwife, that means you're giving birth at home. But I'm glad you mentioned that, because it does not mean that you are giving birth at home. as far as I'm concerned, at least in our area, I'm not sure how it is in the GTA, but it's you have a midwife and they're designated to one hospital. Is it the same with GTA, or do you guys have access to multiple hospitals for birthing?
So every midwifery practice will have at least one hospital that they have privileges at. So that means that they can work there, deliver babies there.
Yeah. But
it depends. Some have two, some have three, some have a hospital and the birthing center if they're close enough to it. So it just depends. But every midwifery clinic has privileges at least one hospital. And so, yes, you don't have to have a home birth with midwives, but you have the option. And yeah. Truthfully, most babies are born in the hospital, even with midwives. I think generally our home birth rate is around 10 to 15%. It varies by practice. There's some practices that have a much higher rate, but usually it's around about 10% of the births are home births.
And I think especially with COVID, there are people who are deciding to have births at home, first because of exposure. There are people who are not necessarily vaccinated that cannot give birth in the hospital because there's the hopefully that will change, but the restrictions of, yes, you can be there to give birth, but your partner has to leave after. Like there's all these different restrictions. So now people are deciding to, I'm gonna give birth at home. I'm gonna bear this pain. Mentioned, which is amazing, is that if you do have a midwife and you give birth in the hospital, they're discharging you earlier, like an early
discharge. If everything is fine and normally you can go home, you don't have to. Like that's the thing people are like, oh my goodness,
you don't have to,
but you do have that option and some people love it. And sometimes it's like we'll be wheeling people out to the car and other patients are like, oh,
where are you going?
To go, and I gotta go to that loud postpartum floor, like where there's a buzzer going off all the time. There's other babies crying. There's somebody coming in all the time, and you know, and some people are absolutely more secure and comfortable with that. And then there's
you're
some people, especially people that have done it before, are like, let me go home. Like I'm ready to go. My other kid is there. Like I have support, and the midwife is coming, right? And you have access, like you by pager, if anything does go wrong. So. It's a good option.
The one thing that I will say, and this is, again, this is my opinion, guys. Don't hate me for what I'm going to say. But from the experience of not necessarily my experience, because I had a good experience, I think because I gave birth at a children's hospital. But generally what I've heard is midwives, you are your name. So I'm Tenley. As an OB, you're a number. Like you come in, you go, you're doing your checkup and you leave. So at least from what I found is that you have a little bit more of a connection with your midwife. Like it's not a quick visit because sometimes it's like everything is okay. You go to the OB office, everything's okay, go home. But with a midwife, like you have that time, you connect, like we've shared personal experiences. We had lots of laughing. Like I felt like my midwife team, because we had a team of, Adrian, you're on here, so maybe you can remind me, but I believe we had a team of three or four people. And we had it based on colors and all this kind of stuff. And it was every person that we met, we ended up developing a relationship with, right? They cared to see what the baby looked like. They cared, even now they ask for pictures. They want to see pictures of how Aiden is. Like you really felt the relationship. And it, from what I've heard, again, my OB experience was different because my OB was really hands-on with baby ultrasounds, all kind of stuff. So I wasn't necessarily a number. But from mothers that I've talked to, they just went in to do what they had to do and they kind of just left. They didn't really build that connection with their OB, which is unfortunate.
So let me put that into, so that's part of what midwifery care, part of our tenets of care, like some of our main things. One thing is informed choice. So we believe that the mother, the pregnant person is the primary decision maker. And so we want to give you all of the information that you need to make that informed decision. And to facilitate kind of informed choice, we have longer appointments, right? So we're with an OB, sometimes you will have, a 5-minute appointment, if that, whereas ours are scheduled for a minimum of 30 minutes, sometimes 45, sometimes an hour. And that's because we do have that kind of informed choice aspect. And then another thing that I'll touch on that you sort of touched on is the continuity of care. So you do get to meet your midwifery team. So you'll meet at least two midwives. Sometimes teams are three or four. It just depends, but you'll meet that team of midwives. And then at least one of those people will be at your birth, barring strange circumstances where there is a birth storm and everybody has been at birth or at another birth. Like, it happens rarely, but that's why midwives take less clients, right? So that's how, part of how we're quite different from obstetricians. And not to knock my OB colleagues, like, they're great at what they do, but it's just different from what we do. And so we take a limited number of clients because we, one, continuity of care, so being able to be there, appointments and the birth and postpartum. And also because, like, we manage labors kind of differently. Like, we're there kind of from, you know, active labor till 6 weeks postpartum, right? But we're there from start to finish, whereas the obstetrician, they do their, you know, 12 or 24-hour shift. They're kind of in and out. It's very different. And if you have an obstetrician, you're not necessarily going to have your OB kind of attend your birth, whereas with midwives, we have lower numbers so that we can, you know, most of the time be able to do that. So it's a different course of care, and it's kind of intentionally built into how midwives work, that we can have those things like those longer appointments, and actually kind of be able to attend the labors of our clients.
Yeah, we actually just had a question here. So what about high-risk pregnancies? Can you still get a midwife? So I'll answer a little bit, and then you can get into more details. Because I know who asked this question, if you remember in regards to my story, because I ended up being high-risk, so I started with a midwife, and I ended up getting transferred over to an OB because I was high, more so Aiden because of his health risk, or his health condition, sorry. And then after birth, like, my OB, yes, I went to go see my OB every week until birth. She wasn't there for the birth, like you mentioned. Doesn't mean that your OB is going to be there. But once I was discharged from the hospital, I got discharged back into my midwife's care. And they came to the house to, you know, weigh baby, to check on baby, to help latch baby. Like, she was there to make sure that he was okay. And even through everything that was going on with me being with my OB, they were still getting all the documentation on him. So they knew exactly what was happening. They knew, they saw his ultrasounds. They saw all the health conditions. They knew the appointments that we were having. So they knew everything. But it didn't mean that because they weren't there for the last, I think it was 10 weeks of my pregnancy, that they just kind of disappeared. So that normally happens. But as far as I'm concerned, once you become high risk, you either get transferred over to an OB, or you can, I think you said, you cannot necessarily be with both at the same time, right?
Yeah, so midwives have a specific scope of practice. So if there's things that come up, yes, it could be either with the pregnant person or the baby in utero that are outside of, you know, our low risk scope of practice, then that's when we would transfer care. Yeah. The most common time that we transfer care is actually during the labor, and that's when it's more of a, okay, if you maybe need an assisted delivery, the obstetrician comes in. So technically, they are the most responsible practitioner for that. They mm-hmm. deliver the baby, and then if everything's fine, they leave, and you're back in midwifery care. If it happens during the pregnancy, it kind of depends on how far along in the pregnancy. So obviously, people coming into the pregnancy knowing that they're high risk because there's some sort of pre-existing condition, they're already just are going to be with an obstetrician. They're not really going to have the option for midwifery care. But like you mentioned, sometimes during your care, something will come up that then changes your risk category, and then you need an obstetrician in your care. When it happens kind of later in the pregnancy, usually your midwives will stay on in a supportive role. So they're not the primary care provider anymore. You've transferred care to the OB, but there's still that communication, mm-hmm. and there's still like, and if you want to come for more of a social visit or to kind of talk about things, you can come and still do that. For a lot of people, it's kind of too much to do both, but they keep the midwives in the loop so that, yes, they can sometimes still come to the labor as in a supportive role. And then, like you mentioned, if everything is okay postpartum, they can resume that postpartum care. So yeah. Those are kind of the different ways. But like I said, if it's really early in pregnancy, oftentimes it'll just kind of be a straight transfer of care, and you wouldn't keep kind of both the midwife and the OB, because it's mm-hmm. it's a little bit kind of double dipping on the healthcare system. It's you know, so, but later on, like, it's like 30 weeks or, you know, so, we've kind of had that whole relationship, right? We're invested. We want to stay involved.
Yes.
So oftentimes, like I said, we'll kind of stay in that supportive role, even though the obstetrician is officially handling care, but stay in that supportive role and be able to take over care again in the postpartum if that's an option.
So a question for you, because I know this is something that's become a lot more common, especially with women now deciding to have children later on in life. Now there is this whole I don't know what to call it, but they say that after a certain age, if you get pregnant after a certain age, you're now high risk. Now, my question in regards to that, because I don't necessarily like to hear that because of an age that, you know, you're high risk, but understanding that that's now the new thing, in regards to you being a midwife, when somebody is, I don't know, 45, for example, and they say, hey, I'm pregnant, because they're high risk, would that be something that you would say I have to send over to an OB, or would you take on somebody that's of that age or older that is pregnant?
Yeah, so age alone, so they have the term advanced maternal age or whatever they want to call it.
Yes.
Like it's let's just say it's a risk factor. Like it's something that we should be aware of. And there's like different things that will be offered and maybe different testing, earlier ultrasounds. Maybe you recommend an induction. If labor hasn't started by a certain gestation, you're not going to go as far past your due date. A whole bunch of things to consider. But age alone is not a reason that you would need an obstetrician. Oftentimes, if somebody is of advanced maternal age, we will offer them a consult with an obstetrician during their pregnancy. But it doesn't automatically make you high risk such that you cannot be with a midwife.
Okay, that's good, because I do know a lot of women, like I said, who are older. What's the term that you used?
Advanced maternal age.
Advanced maternal age.
Yes.
Okay, so advanced maternal age, that automatically assume, because this is what society is now telling them, because they're of a certain age, that they're high risk, that they automatically go to an OB. So you mentioning that, it actually opens up the opportunity for them. So you don't have to, like, talk to a midwife first.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, maybe you may need to do a consult with an OB, do some testing to make sure everything is okay. That's possible, but it doesn't mean you have to go automatically to them.
And so seeing the comments, geriatric pregnancy. Yes, that is a term that that's the less polite term than advanced maternal age, right? Like geriatric, like who wants to hear that? But yes, I would say for people, like if you're wondering about midwifery care, just call, like, you know, go on the Ontario Midwives website, put in your location, see which clinics are close to you, and contact them first, because you do want to get in with a midwife early, because like I said, we take less clients, so spots do fill up. But you'll always be able to get an OB later. The midwives will be able to tell you whether or not you qualify for midwifery care. And then if you don't, then you get an OB, that's fine. But if you do, like, then you can have midwives. So check it out first if you're wondering.
I agree. Now I'm going to throw another one in there. So we talked about OB, we talked about midwives, and I have a feeling you know what I'm going to say next. So what is the difference between those and a doula? Because I always hear all of this. Okay, you know, I had a doula, I had a midwife, I had an OB. What is the difference?
Doulas are not clinicians. So they're not primary care providers. They can't manage your pregnancy. They don't catch babies. But doulas are amazing. They are emotional, physical support people. So they are there to kind of support you, advocate for you, and not even just in labor. So like there are birth doulas, there's also postpartum doulas that will come after you've had the baby, help you with all the newborn stuff, also even help maybe run some errands, do light housework and cooking. So doulas do a full spectrum of care, but they are not clinicians. They're not primary care providers. So they are something to kind of add on to your primary care team. So some people ask, like, can I have a midwife and a doula? Absolutely. It's great. Yeah. And we always recommend, like, if you can afford one, or if you can, like, and there are some different programs where you can get lower cost or free doula care. It's great, because just having that constant support during labor is one thing that can lead to better outcomes. And then in the postpartum as well, just having that extra support is great and invaluable, and can really make people's experiences. And especially if you're in a position where you feel like you're really going to need an advocate for whatever reason, then doulas are also a great option.
Yeah. And like I'm glad you mentioned that, because yes, we know that OBs are covered obviously by the government. We know that midwives also, but doulas not covered. So that's something that you have to pay for. Like you said, there's programs that can offer assistance with payments or whatever care that you can get from a doula. Hey, you may know a friend that's a doula and says, hey, I need some help. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, like it really is a great option. Like that's one of my things. Like I want people to know their options, kind of know the full spectrum of what's out there, and don't just kind of get kind of just onto one route, and then when you finish, you're like, oh, I didn't know that was an option. I didn't know that was an option. Like just kind of do your research, and there's lots of resources out there, and there's a whole care team, right? So I come from an athletic background. I used to play soccer at a fairly high level. Now I just coach sometimes and watch my kids, but like as an athlete, you have so much support. Like, I went away on scholarship, and so like they have dietitians, they have a strength coach. If you get hurt, you have like this whole rehab program. Like you have all this support. And whereas I think pregnant people are like the ultimate athlete, like your body is doing so much. You're creating a life and birthing that life. Like I think you should have that full spectrum of care as well. Like it's the same thing where you should have that support from, conception, postpartum, like a whole spectrum of care where we're just like, we kind of get to the one thing. We get our primary maternity care provider, like OB or midwife, and that's kind of it. And you're just expected to just, go out, go off into the world, figure it out, Like, whereas your body has done this amazing work. You now have a newborn, so you're not sleeping anymore. Like all these things going on, like we need to give pregnant postpartum people more support and kind of widen our understanding of what that looks like.
And I love, and I'll say this. So I love the generations before. Love them to death, right? But
But
not everything that's passed down from generation to generation has always been necessarily the right thing to do or the right thing for you and your child. And I dare to say, I think my mom is on here too. What I do with Aiden, or the experience that I had with Aiden, is not the same experience that she had, right? And especially with COVID, like I didn't have people around me. Is my husband and I living out in Timbuktu wine country, where our family's in PA or the Caribbean, and I didn't have that. Where my mom, like my grandparents were around, like my grandmothers were around. They took turns in being here, so she had the help. She had her friends around. There was no COVID, so it wasn't like you couldn't get the help from anybody. And it was just different. And a lot of things that I was able to do with Aiden, for example, I don't want to get too much into this, but breastfeeding, my mom didn't get that chance to do it because she had her own complications in terms of trying to breastfeed. And now I'm breastfeeding. It's like, how is she able to help me when she never experienced that, right? So it's now looking at things to say, not everything that we learned from our parents or our grandparents or our great-great-grandparents, if they're still around, is the same thing that we need to be doing. It's now educating ourselves and understanding what is it. And even when we think of like a midwife, if we go back generations before, there was no hospitals that they were having babies in. They were having babies in the field. They were having babies, in the barn. They were having babies wherever baby decided to come.
Yes, and
So it,
midwives were attending those births, right? And midwives, and it was something that was part of the culture, right? They were part of the community. There was a community of midwives that would do these births, and yes, and then there was a whole medicalization of birth, and it got moved into the hospitals, and all those people were kind of shut out. And in Ontario, then we've kind of had this process of kind of clawing back into,
Yeah.
midwives being normalized and being part of the healthcare system. And so it's a whole journey, and it's actually a very interesting story if people go kind of go and do their research of that process. But yeah, it's very interesting. And you're right, like when like in our parents' time, there was just a different set of recommendations, and the things were different. Their village was different. Their support was different. And now here, and especially people having babies during this pandemic, it is just so different than anybody else's experience, right? And so you do the best with what you know and what the recommendations are now and what works for you and your family. So,
And
and
we
not to
have,
knock what was done before.
exactly, we have the resources to look for these things now. We have, like, we're having conversations about this. Years ago, this wasn't necessarily something that people want to talk about. Like, I social media and YouTube, all that. I tell people I tore, like, I did this, I did that, I experienced this, I had nipple damage. Like, I talk about it openly because nobody else wants to talk about it. People are fearful of talking about it. People are fearful that it may just be them and may be shamed. But we need to have these conversations, right? In order to let, no, you're not alone, sis.
Yep, normalize the experience because
Yeah.
there's a whole spectrum, and the perfect post on Instagram where everything looks great and they're smiling, makeup done. Like, that's not really the reality for most people, right? And so, like, and when people are willing to kind of just be real about it, it's so comforting for other people and be like, oh, okay, great. Like, that, I'm not the only one. And maybe it helps them ask for help or look for resources. So, you know, I'm all for it. I'm very honest, right? I'm all about honesty. It's too much work to try and be fake and try and put something out there that's not real. So I'm just going to tell how it is.
Exactly. That's when it was going to offend some people, and sorry if it offends you, but generally it helps most people. You have, you know, people that may not come publicly and say, oh my God, you know, what you said to me was just so amazing. They may send us private message to you. They may email you and say, I love it when I get those long messages saying, you know what, I'm so glad you're talking about this. You're helping me. And those are the kind of things that encourage us to continue talking about them. Mm-hmm. But one thing is my husband would be the one to ask this question, but he's saying, are male midwives, mid men a thing?
Male midwives are a thing. I believe there's three practicing in Ontario. I believe, don't quote me on that. And there's actually one black male midwife who I recently heard of. So midwife, actually the word means with woman. So even if you're a male midwife, you're still with woman as the primary healthcare provider. So yes, there are male midwives, and they do exist. And there's a few practicing in Ontario. I believe there's another male in the program right now. So yes, and in countries where midwifery is more established, like in the UK, you'll see more male midwives just because it's just more of a common thing. Just like you see male obstetricians, right? So.
Yeah, that's amazing. As my cousin said, mid-husbands.
Everybody wants to give them a different name. They feel like wife just doesn't fit.
Right?
They're still midwives. They are.
But I'm glad that he kind of brought that question up, because it kind of leads me into the next, which talks about like kind of what I mentioned to you, talking about like Black History Month and all of that, and the experience and the representation of Blacks, period, Black men, as you mentioned, there's one, and Black women. Are you seeing a lot of that? I know maybe more so in the GTA, but are you seeing... Yes, honey, I see. Yes, Adrian Frame. But are you seeing a lot of representation of Blacks in this area? Whether it's, I don't know if there's Black male lactation consultants. I know there is a male, Jack Newman, I know that much. But like breastfeeding and birthing experiences, or more so midwives, because we know that there's male OBs, but midwives, do you see a lot of Blacks in that field?
A lot would be not the correct term, but there are some. Like there's over 30 of Black midwives in Ontario. I don't have the exact number, and I won't try and quote that, but yeah. So like we're underrepresented in that, like, so you know, Ontario is very diverse, so the population of Black people, like our numbers don't line up. There's less than there should be, you know, technically, but there are Black midwives, mostly kind of more concentrated around the GTA. Definitely as you move kind of further out, it's definitely harder to find a Black midwife, but we are there. But in maternity care in general, like, you know, Black providers are underrepresented. Like if I go back before COVID, if I go to conferences and those sort of things, like I can count on my hands, like you, mm-hmm. I'm not surprised by being the only one in the room as a practicing midwife, usually only Black midwife at the practice. Like there are a few practices with a few, and which is super cool. But, you know, I think that's part of what I want to do with Ancestral Hands Midwives is just like outreach, just for people to know that midwifery is a thing, and to start early, like talk to high school students and like, so that they know it's an option as a career, right? Like I think representation is so important, and we have to get out there and say, hey, you know, I'm a midwife, this is what I do. If you're interested in it, like we're happy to give you more information and help. And I think the world is so small these days in terms of, you know, the internet, being able to connect. Like I love, like on LinkedIn or on Instagram, where people just like say, oh, I'm interested in midwifery, like would you be able to chat or give me some information? Yes, absolutely. Like it's so much easier now to kind of get information and to talk to professionals in the field, and I really encourage people to do that. If you're interested, reach out. Like we're all happy to recruit more Black midwives, and so we want more representation, and that's, like I said, part of what I'm doing with Ancestral Hands is like, okay, well, we can't all have a Black midwife, like we just don't have the numbers, but like kind of creating this hub, this kind of Black maternal health hub, where, you know, you're kind of getting used to the idea of healthcare teams, right? So maybe you have your primary healthcare provider, but you kind of have this, you know, group that's really Black focused, where maybe you could ask questions or we can offer prenatal classes, all that sort of thing as an extra resource to you. So you have, you kind of have us on your team. Mm-hmm. So that's why Ministry of Health, you should fund us so that we can do this full fledged.
Here.
Sure, they're on here.
Share. But it's the same thing. Like those who have been following me for a while, if you don't know, I'm actually becoming a certified breastfeeding counselor. And that's because, first of all, my experience, and I don't see many of them. Like even just looking for a Black midwife for Black History Month, I put it on my Instagram and I had one person end up reaching out to me, thank God, that says, you know what, at the hospital I gave birth, I had, I think, I don't know if it was a midwife or she knew somebody that told her about the Black midwife, like something along those lines. And I believe when she reached out, she was pregnant. So she ended up recommending you. And I'm like, I didn't even know, didn't know that there was a whole team in GTA.
We're unofficial. We're out of, like, this is why this is a nonprofit. And yeah, we're just kind of starting. But it's great kind of throughout this process of starting this, like I've been able to connect with other Black midwives. Cause like I said, normally when I go to midwifery, like it's just got me in the room or the couple of people that I know from the midwifery program. But outside of that, like I didn't know a lot of other Black midwives. And so I've been able to connect with over 30 of the Black midwives. Like we have our own little WhatsApp group and it's great just to kind of know that they're there and support each other in the profession and like talk about ways that we can help each other thrive and that we can recruit more Black midwives.
And it's great because I wish I would live closer. I do. Cause we're at a point where a lot of us are looking to support our, like Black people, right? We are Black trying to support Black, not just for Black History Month.
For life.
I know. Do you know any Black midwives in Northern Ontario?
Yeah. So whoever asked that question, reach out to me on Instagram or go to Ancestral Hands. And because it depends exactly where you are. I need to know where you are. And then I can see which practices are in the catchment. And then I can be able to look and tell you if I know of any Black midwives there. So it is kind of specific to the area. So.
And I know you're asking if why there isn't a list. I'm sure as time goes on, because I know that Althea is trying to start up. It's just been a year in terms of this nonprofit that she's starting. But I'm sure as time goes on, there's her team. Like if you go onto her website, you'll see the Black midwives that are there. And as time goes on, you know, more information will probably be added that you can get access to all of this. Because it's hard. Like we're searching for it. But there's people like Althea that are trying to put this information out there. Time. We'll get
It's true. Yeah. So if you go to my Instagram page, there is a little guide because I last year did a feature of Black midwives. And so there is a guide there with some of the ones that we have information for. But yes, also working on a Black healthcare directory. So I'm hoping that soon, but you're right. It is time. All these things take time. But if you go to the Ontario Midwives page, like, and you find out which clinic you're in the catchment for, most of their websites have pictures of the midwives. So go see which practices, go to their website. And I know it sucks that you have to do all this work. Like I get it. And I'm trying to make it easier. I'm trying to put it all in one place. But for the time being, this is kind of the process. And then also Mommy Monitor is a really good resource as well. If you go to their website, they have a directory going of a lot of Black healthcare providers. I don't know if there's many in Northern Ontario, I'm sorry, but we're working on it. We're trying to kind of really just amalgamate all these resources so it's not so difficult for people to find what they're looking for.
Yeah, which is good. And you know what, even after there's so many questions I want to ask you, and I'm looking at time, conversation, but time. But even if you can send me some of the handles that you're talking about, some of the websites,
absolutely.
You can always put in the comments for people to go ahead and is Mommy Monitor for the States as well?
They are a Canadian organization. I know they do some like just webinars and things like that might be accessible for people in the United States, but in terms of the services they offer, I believe it's just Ontario.
Yeah, okay. Ooh, I'm trying to see. I'm like, I have all these lovely questions. I'm like,
We might have to do a part two. I might have to
that's
come
what
back and do this again.
we're gonna have to, because this is some good, like, good conversation. But I just want to get, because I want to kind of move a little bit to, we talked about the women, the black health and all of that, but I want to talk about Woman and Well. Is that what it's called? Woman and Well.
Woman wellness.
Yeah. So what is womb wellness?
Yeah, Women Wellness is it's basically a maternity services network. So, like, my thought was, like, as a midwife, clients would always be coming to me like, oh, okay, I'd recommend, oh, maybe a chiropractor, like you're having back pain, or hey, you should see a pelvic floor physiotherapist to get ready for labor or to recover postpartum.
This
Say
is
that
jerk.
again, sorry?
This is jerk. Jerk. Perfect.
And I found, like, I didn't have, like, a big network of, like, people that I knew of to send people to, or if they kind of lived further away from my clinic, then, or, like, I didn't really have resources for them. So I was like, you know, we really kind of need to bring all these things together. And so that's what Women Wellness is about. So there's just, like, all those different kind of providers that you'll need throughout your pregnancy, just kind of in one place. So gone through the work of vetting everybody, making sure they have qualifications to work with people during pregnancy, and just people just go on, say what they're looking for, and then we just give you, like, these are the people in your area, like, our kind of verified providers that can help you out during your pregnancy, birth, or postpartum. So that's really what it's about, is just making that complementary care easy to access, kind of taking the work and worry out of it for people, and just making it easy to, like, find that, you know, massage therapist or chiropractor or pelvic floor physiotherapist, lactation consultant, prenatal class, whatever it is you're looking for.
And it's good because, like, myself searching the internet for not just information, but people who can help. And I understand that I may not have as many resources, black resources in my area, but within the GTA, being able to create that to say, hey guys, I know this is what you're looking for. I'm creating this to assist you. So you don't have to necessarily do all this research, because sometimes some of the people that you find aren't necessarily certified or stuff like that. Like, it's, you want to make sure that they have the right credentials and you're sending people to the right people. Because at the end of
Yeah.
the day, you're like, you send it to the wrong person and they come back to you and be like, who'd you send me to?
And the great thing about these providers is, like, they really want to work with pregnant people. They've gone through the work of doing these extra certifications and done this extra training, but, like, they're a busy chiropractor or massage therapist, and they can't spend their time just trying to market and make sure that that people know that they do pregnancy work. Like, these practitioners are mostly, they're self-employed, right? Like, their job is to see people, right? So you might not know that there's an amazing physiotherapist, pelvic floor physiotherapist in somewhere called sports physio, because, oh, I wasn't looking for sports, I'm looking for prenatal, right? So it's just kind of pulling those different resources together to make it easy for people to find, because, like I said, that's what I think everyone should have during their, you know, perinatal period. They should have access to all these different providers if they need them.
Yeah, I do believe that that's key. So, what do you enjoy about being a midwife and starting up these organizations? What do you enjoy the most? If there's one thing, okay, maybe two. If you have two things, that's fine. But what would you say you, at doing what you do, being Althea, what do you enjoy?
I'd say, as a midwife, kind of my favorite thing is watching the evolution of my clients, right? So, like, and seeing people from, like, you know, from their first visit where they're nervous and they have all these questions, and then seeing them kind of go through the prenatal period and, you know, sometimes gain confidence, sometimes lose confidence, and then seeing them birth and then go through the postpartum, like, it's just like this whole evolution of, it's just like, oh, like, do you know your strength? Like, do you see what you've done? I love watching that. I love people seeing people come out kind of the other end as this whole new person, right? Like, you're literally a whole new person, but you've done all of this, and I get to watch it. And I get to watch it, like, it's different when you're actually living it. Like, you don't experience it the same way, and you don't even appreciate it in the same way, but I get to just kind of see it as a bystander. It's like, oh, you're amazing. I love watching people do that.
And as you said that, like, you, because you, obviously you were studying this, and you think, I think you said you were in your third year when you gave birth to your first child, right? So you've been through, you've seen all of that. Now you're doing it yourself. You're like, I understand what's happening to me, like, because I've seen it happen to other people. What Right? But then after your experience, you seeing it, the experiencing it, and now you witnessing it again with somebody else, do you look back and say, ah, that's what happened to me? Do you?
I probably don't do as much self-reflection as I should. I'll think and try and look back on that. No, because I don't. I focus on it kind of other people more so, but you know. But I tell my husband though. I always tell him, I'm like, you're lucky that you know I knew everything and that we got to stay home. And I'm like, I do tell him, so I big myself up in that way.
Because it's interesting when you, because like for me, I didn't know, mind you, it was a little bit different because I wasn't studying breastfeeding before. But it's for me, when I look at me studying and understanding what's actually happening, and as I'm studying, like I'm educating at the same time people around me, I look and I say, that's what my body was doing. I didn't know that's why the color of the milk looked the way that it did. Like you're starting to now analyze what happened because
Putting
now.
all those pieces together, it all clicks.
Yes. And you were a little bit different because you knew what was happening. So you knew what to kind of expect. You didn't know necessarily the feeling of it. You were to expect. So you were prepared, like you tell your husband, like, you're lucky. I knew what
And that experience was so helpful for things, even like breastfeeding. Even though I hadn't breastfed, I had told people how to do it. I knew the mechanics of it, and it was that much easier for myself because I'm like, oh yeah, okay. You kind of feel that confidence, but also just even the mechanical of, oh, I know what to do. I know what to look for. I know what, even though I didn't actually feel it, like until I was doing it. Okay, once I'm doing it, I'm like, okay, yeah, I know that's right or that's not right. So
like, this is what a letdown feels like.
yeah.
Oh.
Exactly, but like then you put those pieces together, it's like, oh, okay, I've told people about that, and now I actually know for myself how that feels with me.
Exactly. Exactly. It's mind-blowing because it's one thing to be textbook smart, but when you actually see and feel and know and understand, it's totally different. It's totally
I feel like having your own children as a midwife kind of gives you street cred with your clients. Whereas before, like especially as a student, people kind of just looked at me like, "Oh, you don't know anything. Like you don't have any kids." But then once you say, "Oh, I do actually," then all of a sudden people are like, "Oh, okay."
right. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. I actually had somebody ask a question here, as you mentioned, like talking about being students, is do you have to have an undergrad or be in the medical field to become a midwife?
No, so midwifery is actually an undergraduate degree. So you graduate with a bachelor's health science. So you just need to have whatever high school prerequisites. That being said, I would say most of the people that I was in the program with had some experience before midwifery, had another degree, and not even necessarily like healthcare related experience, but just had another degree and had some sort of career before they became a midwife. But it is, you know, direct entry. So you can, you know, come from high school into midwifery or not have any other degree.
The program
4 years.
4 years.
So it's a 4-year program. There is at X University, there is like a part-time stream where you can kind of take a little longer. Some people, if they were still working while they were in the program, because the first two years is like in class work. So you can spread out how you do that, like if you still have like a profession, and take longer to do that. But then once you get into the last 2 years of like pure clinical placements, then you need to do that part full time.
Okay. No, that sounds good. 4 years. See, I don't know if I could be a midwife, but I don't like blood.
I don't really like blood either. But you get used to when it's normal and not. Like when there's blood that I can't like. When I don't know the source of it, I'm like, it really kind of irks me. So you don't have to like blood. Like I guess I don't know. I wouldn't say that I like blood either. So don't let that rule you out.
Let me tell you this. My husband, like he, even when he tries to explain to me what he saw when my son was coming out, I don't care. Like, no. Because you know, I tell you to watch videos before you have your baby. I didn't watch
Not
one.
for everybody. No, not
No.
for everybody to watch
No,
those
no.
videos. And listen, I'll tell you, I'll catch babies, but I think my kids' wiggly teeth are gross. They're like, oh, don't show me that. So, you know, it's okay.
Oh my gosh. But this was a good conversation. I have one last question for you because we like is late. There's one last
Time flies.
I know. So if there is anything that you can tell, like if there's a mom on here that's pregnant, or even somebody who has never had a baby and is looking to get pregnant soon or in the future, what's one thing that anything doesn't matter what it is that you would recommend to them? Like one thing you think that is most important for them to be aware of. You can take some time to think about it because I know it's just an on the spot question.
No, it's really going to be something that I've already said. Just know your options. Like, really think about building your healthcare team and what that looks like for you, what kind of support you need. So don't let it just stop with like, oh, you've told your, family doctor you're pregnant and they've given you a referral to an OB. Like, know your options. Know that you have different primary maternity care options, so midwife, obstetrician, or if you have a family doctor that does obstetrics, those are your three options in Ontario. Then once you get there, kind of know what support is outside of that. So doula care, complementary care providers, chiropractor, pelvic floor physiotherapist. I think every pregnant person should see a pelvic floor physio if they can, prenatally and postpartum. So just like widen your thought of what team and support looks like for you.
Perfect. I like that. I like that. I think it's very important to know your options because many people don't. We just hear, again, passed down from generations, friends, family. Oh, well, who's your OB? I don't have an OB. I have a midwife. What's a midwife? Right? Knowing what there is out there. And if they ever have any questions for you, want to understand a little bit more about midwifery, how you say it?
Midwifery,
If they want to understand a little bit more about it, how can they contact you?
On Instagram, so at Ancestral Hands Midwives, or you can go to our website, ancestralhands.ca. Just reach
Okay.
out, email, whatever. Like I'm happy to give you information.
Perfect. Thank and you know, somebody said here, I want to be a midwife, but I don't want to see the birth. I'll settle for a doula.
Too. You're right in there. Doulas are part of that team. Like they're holding a leg. Like absolutely.
Right? You sure you want to do that?
I think you'll still see births as a doula, unless you just want to do a postpartum doula, which is an option as well.
That's special. And I actually found out recently that there, I didn't know this, but there's fertility doulas as well.
Yes, absolutely. Full spectrum. Doulas are a full spectrum from
Yeah.
preconception to postpartum. Absolutely.
Yeah, like I actually, it's funny because I spoke with somebody in December, who like I've talked to her, I've worked with her many times before. She's actually my fitness coach, and through conversation on Mommy Matters, even though I know her, I didn't know that she was. I knew she dealt with fertility, but I didn't know the term fertility do.
Doula, yes.
You're learning. You're learning.
You learn something new every day.
Yes, but thank you so much for doing this, Althea. I know you just this random person named Tenley reached out to you and you just said, hey, yes, I'll do it. I appreciate it.
I told you, I'm happy. I love when people are looking for information and want to know more about midwifery. We talked about representation being important. So you said, I'm looking for a black midwife. I'm like, listen, yes, like if somebody else can't do it, I will absolutely do it because it's important. It's important to just spread the word and for our community to know about this care.
Exactly. And doing this opens it up to everybody else that's on here that didn't know about you, didn't know about the nonprofit that you've started, and now know where to find the resources that they need. So this was good.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for having
Yes. Have a great night and bye, guys. Have a good one.
Bye.